This is Pixelated Audio, episode 140, music from the Nintendo Satellaview.
All right, welcome back to Pixelated Audio, a podcast focusing on game audio, its history, and the people behind it. We're your hosts. I'm Brian, and this is Gene.
Hey, everyone. Today, we've got a special show. We're going to be playing music and talking about the Nintendo Satellaview broadcast system. And the tracks that brought us in were the intro logo and the title theme.
Yeah, the BIOS, I guess. It, you boot up the system, and this is the first thing you hear. So there's not a lot of music there to kind of get you to stand up and start dancing, but it's interesting nonetheless.
Yeah. And so last time we talked about treasure conflicts, and in the middle of editing the notes for that show, we realized we had way too much and we wanted to keep it pretty short. So we saved all of the Satellaview specific stuff for its own show.
Well, let's back up a second here. So when we were doing treasure conflicts, we weren't really thinking about the Satellaview music, but to get to treasure conflicts, you actually have to go through the Satellaview system. And there were some really banging tunes in there. And we started looking through that and ended up being too long of a show for these shorter episodes we wanted to get out. And so we saved it for this. And we think that there's a lot of really great music to go through today. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And with that, let's get into our first track of the show. This is the naming screen.
That was the naming screen, or the name entry screen, composed by Akito Nakatsuka, Naoto Ishida, and Yuichi Ozaki, likely just by Nakatsuka, but the other two could have been sound design or have some contributions here and there. Anyways, this is a nice, smooth little track.
Yeah, it's a little odd for a name entry track. I mean, this is where you name your character, your player avatar, when you're in the little, like, Satellaview world.
Yes. So I was really thrown off because I had played some Satellaview games through emulation and stuff. And I was always wondering, like, this looks exactly the same as the other one, how it started. And yeah, there is like a portal that you start off in. You name your character. Nintendo has always been a huge fan of giving you a kind of a virtual avatar or a virtual you inside of all their stuff. They do it with the Miis. They do it with like all their systems. And this was kind of like, here's how you can walk around in this real broadcast networking world. So
exactly. And truthfully, though, everybody in the mid-90s wanted you to have a little avatar to like surf the net, you know, go onto the internet and, you know, explore in these very like these worlds. It's sort of, nobody does that anymore, but there was a period of time I remember it well.
Yeah. No, I mean that it was everywhere. It wasn't just Nintendo. It was like every like possible thing that had any connectivity. It was like, make yourself, and people loved it. I dug it too. So let's get into our next track here. This is the town music when you're walking around with your sweet little avatar.
Thank you. That was the town theme composed by Akito Nakatsuka, Naoto Ishida, and Yuichi Ozaki.
This is super fun. Just very classic Super NES sounds. I mean, yeah. Nintendo has like a presence in every inch of this music, and you can hear like from the strings to the kind of weak percussion, but kind of dancey brass. You know, I really like it. I like this kind of stuff. You know, makes you happy.
Yeah, you know, something I've always noticed about Nintendo music, starting at about the Super Nintendo, was that everything had this kind of like playful toy-like character.
Oh, absolutely.
But it wasn't necessarily like it was cheap. It was just like, you know, they weren't aiming for realism, but they were aiming for something that was very playful and fun, like a, you know, like a carnival or
yeah, a carnival.
Like yeah. And I don't mean like in the goofy sort of overplayed sort of way, but their sound libraries have lots of like bings and whizzes and all sorts of little, you know, fun sound effects. But yeah,
there's a lot of shared samples among their internal teams for sure. I mean, because, you know, not only the built-in stuff that you could use in their dev kit or whatever, but just, you can hear it in a lot of Nintendo, especially their, I want to say like their peripheral stuff, like, mm-hmm. like this, you know, that, it reminds me of, like the Game Boy camera or, you know, the printer stuff and
even
just
the Wii Shop channel has the
exactly.
Sort of sound, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So, this was, really something that Nintendo had kind of made their own thing. And we saw it in a lot of other stuff, and even carrying on today. We haven't talked about the Satellaview except for the last episode that we did, and it was a satellite modem peripheral for the Super Famicom released in 1995 in partnership with another company called Saint Giga, which was a satellite broadcasting company formed in 1990. By 94, they were experiencing some financial problems, and so Nintendo invested a stake in the company to prevent them from closing. And at that point, Nintendo's R&D2 division, the team responsible for the Super Famicom, worked with Saint Giga to develop the Satellaview hardware and online services for data broadcast to the device. So you could download games, magazines, news, hints, all this stuff to the Satellaview's internal 1 megabit of storage or 512 kilobytes of RAM.
Yeah, exactly. So if you had some favorites, you could kind of keep them on there. But if you were just playing something for the day, you could keep it into the RAM if you weren't too worried about it.
Very similar to Sega Channel or anything like that. A lot of the games were only available during specific broadcast weeks, and it took advantage of the broadcast format to release games kind of episodically. So you'd play a game and it would follow this, you know, 4-episode format over, you know, a given amount of time, and you could play along during those period of broadcasting. It was a really, really strange idea.
Yeah, so you might have something released in 2 parts or 4 parts, and, you know, for the first week of the month, it'd be the first part, and then you'd have to kind of stay tuned for the next part. There's a lot of really cool stuff, and we'll talk more about that a little later, but just to go into more detail about it, the Satellaview was a little bit more successful than the MegaNet that we talked about a few episodes ago. It actually had pretty good subscribership, and in March of 97, there were 100,000 subscribers to the service, so that tells you it was pretty successful. And the platform had some really strong third-party support from companies like Capcom, Konami, Taito, and by the end of it, there were 231 Satellaview games produced. And some of the more notable ones were, there was a 16-bit remake of the original Legend of Zelda, that was an early release for the platform. There was another episodic Legend of Zelda Ancient Stone Tablets game, which was released over 4 weeks or over the course of a month. There was Fire Emblem Arcania Saga, another episodic game. F-Zero Grand Prix, same thing. That one was interesting because it had some unique characters that were only in this Satellaview version. Super Famicom Wars, which you may know as Advance Wars. and of course, the game that we're all here for, yes. Shigesato Itoi's number one bass fishing. I mean, actually, it was originally for the Satellaview, but, you know, there's a lot of, like, weird tie-ins. Like, you notice the music has a very sort of earthboundy vibe. In fact, this was around the same time.
I was going to say the same thing. And even the town that you walk around in is very earthboundy-ish.
It totally is. Yeah, you walk totally around is. With a guy, and you can even give him a little hat, I think. I don't know if you can make male and female characters, but I assume the hat stays. So it's like a little Ness walking around the town.
Exactly. And even the graphics look very, very much Earthbound. Like, it has this kind of interesting character design that just has this cartoony but Super Nintendo-y. I don't even know how to explain it.
Yeah, exactly.
If you saw it, you know what I'm talking about. Speaking of Earthbound, this next tune has kind of an Earthbound feel to it as well. This is the Overworld, and we'll be right back.
That was the Overworld music composed by the Satellaview sound team for the Nintendo Satellaview. And that one is like a cross between Earthbound's shop theme and like the first town.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because we were going to cross this one off the list. We weren't originally going to play it. But this might be one of my favorites. This is really fun. It just makes me smile. It's a good track to listen to. It's got a lot of just positive vibes and has just gives me a big smile on my face when I listen to it. It's fun.
Yeah, I agree. I've been going back and playing like on my Vita lately, and one thing I really do appreciate is that there is music when you're navigating the menus. I also have an Xbox and I play that a lot, and it's like dead silent. And the Japanese companies have always been a lot more fond of having menu music, and honestly, I prefer it. I mean, you could always turn it off, but at least it's there.
Exactly. It's comforting. It's like soul food.
Exactly, yeah.
Awesome, let's get into our next track here. This is Soundlink Schedule. That was the Soundlink Schedule composed by Akito Nakatsuka. Naoto Ishida and Yuichi Ozaki.
Nice tune. A little bit more like a traditional Japanese song, I would say. At least, like, to my ears. Yeah.
It's like that that period in the 70s where Enka and pop kind of mashed together a little bit, kind of give it a little extra, I want to say extra beat to it, made a little more dancey. But yeah, no, cool track.
Yeah, I can see that for sure. And this is one of those ones where I'm assuming, based on the title, you can kind of see what's coming up during the broadcast, what you can download for the upcoming week.
Right, right. I think this is where it is. Now, granted, when I was playing the ROM itself, you can't actually access any of this stuff, really. So it's, I can only guess at this point.
Yeah.
And what I've seen, but... yeah, no, I mean, it's a cool track, and I love that Nintendo is doing this. You know, this is kind of like the download music, you know,
it's kind of like, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So, or the Weather Channel, there you go.
That's an even better analogy. Yeah. You can see the programming for the upcoming week.
Right. Right. So let's continue our talk about the Satellaview and move on to some more music.
Yeah. So this is really cool. So we talked about how there were these little download games, but to be a little bit more specific, there's kind of four classes or categories of games. There were what they called best selection games. These are kind of like popular games that were on the Super Famicom, just released in download form. So they were anything from text adventure games to small action games. Doesn't really matter. So it was just a digital version of it. Then there were these monthly event games, which were used for competitions. So for, let's say, the month of March, there were a national rankings, who could get the highest score in Bomberman or whatever. And sometimes the winners would have prizes. So if you did really well, you and maybe the top three people might get a prize, probably mailed to your house. I don't know exactly how it worked.
I think I saw something online where somebody had taken a picture of one of their prizes or something like that, and posted it on the internet all these years later. So it's really rad.
It is. This next area is probably my favorite thing to think about. They're called SoundLink games, and they were immersive audio experiences, and they were often narrated by voice actors, radio hosts, TV personalities. So if you tuned in at an exact time, just the way you would with a TV broadcast, they might be playing a game of, I don't know, Tetris, for all we know, and somebody would be live commenting as you're going along, but you did have to be there right when it started, so you couldn't just like tune in whenever.
Exactly. So it first started out as a thing called the Voice Link games, and started off, I think the first one was BS Zelda No Densetsu, The Legend of Zelda, and they had some famous voice actors and stuff like that, and they would just play it in, was this one of the ones that was like a 6-part episode or 5-part episode? Anyways, they were talking about the game, kind of walking you through it, and then they would rebroadcast these like later date, and you know, called them reruns and stuff. It was really, really rad.
Yeah, that kind of thing. We were talking about this a little bit before the show. The closest comparison I can think of is there was an Xbox game called 1 vs. 100, which was like this huge, massively online, like what is it called, like trivia game where everybody was playing at the same time. These things are super hard to coordinate, so I totally get why they don't do it very often, but it's really like you feel like you're part of this bigger thing as it's going on. It's really cool. You know, and just to kind of close out that section, some of these were also competition games, so you might have live narration of somebody like, you know, playing the tournament with you guys and saying, oh, player one is about to, you know, overtake the other, or player two is about to take, you know, that kind of thing. So it was really cool. And what's probably where you see most of the internet ROM stuff are these BS original games. These were exclusive broadcast satellite games, so they were the episodic ones or totally original games like the ones we mentioned last time from Squaresoft that were only for the Satellaview. So it was kind of like a special packaged game just for the service.
Right. And you know, the BS system, the broadcast satellite system in Japan, was really big. I mean, we have like in the US, like DirecTV, is that one? Dish Network, stuff like that now. But in Japan, that was kind of a standard of watching TV, was having satellite. And so, like, I remember, like, I was never sure, like, what channel things would be on, because sometimes, you know, NHK would have, it would be like NHK West, and then it would be like BS NHK, and then like NHK East, which was like the Tokyo NHK. I was living in Osaka. And so they would have like all these different like BS lineups. And so I could never tell, like in my you know, TV guide or whatever, when stuff was going to be on, because there was like five different channels of all the same thing that had different schedules. But yeah, it was really big. In fact, it's still kind of big over there. Like my in-laws, like they still have, you know, satellite TV. So it's still a thing.
Out here, I think you only get it if your internet is real bad.
Really bad. Yeah. Anyways, let's get into some more music. This is some of the music from the Downloads, titled Download 1. But you can call whatever you want. So let's take a listen and we'll be right back.
Was titled Download 1, composed by the Satellaview sound team for
the Satellaview Trio.
The Satellaview Trio, yeah. I assume that was only used for fishing games and animal husbandry games.
There's not a lot to say about this one.
Not really. No.
It's a nice little track. Let's get into our next download track. This is Download 2, composed by the Satellaview Trio. I'm going with that now. That was Download 2 from the Nintendo Satellaview.
Yeah, it's a jaunty little tune. Do a little Charleston to that.
Yeah, I was snapping my fingers, tap my foot. I like that. It's fun.
Yeah, they're all fun tracks. You know, they're real short, but they're definitely enjoyable little tunes.
Yeah, so the Satellaview, we didn't really talk about what the hardware looks like, and it was really strange. It came in kind of like a two-part system, right? You already had to have existing hardware. You had to have the broadcast satellite tuner and the satellite dish and all that stuff, the AV selector, all that stuff. And then it came with an attachment that went underneath the Super Famicom. It almost looks like the Nintendo 64DD or the Game Boy player for the GameCube. And then you get a cartridge on top, which is just like it looks like a normal Super Famicom cartridge. I actually have one. I found one in Japan. They're not that expensive. At least over there, it wasn't. And then on top of that, it looks like kind of like a Game Boy Advance. It's like an 8 megabit memory pack that goes in there, and you can have your saved data. And then once you have all of those pieces connected, then you can, you know, play the games and download stuff from your satellite dish. Unfortunately, this and all good things come to an end, because support gradually started dropping as financial problems persisted for Saint Giga, and competition from the new generation of consoles like the Saturn, the PS1, and the N64 made the Satellaview less appealing to customers. And rightfully so. You know, it's kind of the Super Nintendo was still a powerhouse, but it had kind of run its course, and these kind of niche, I would say, it was more popular than the, Sega's ventures, but it was still a niche market in the grand scheme of things.
It's surprising they were even able to get it as long as they did. I mean, it lasted until about June of 2000. And so we're talking people still playing the Super Nintendo essentially for like 10 years. That's still pretty impressive.
Yeah. No, they dropped support in March of 1999, and then St. Giga actually continued doing their broadcast until 2000. It's crazy. And then, they followed up with the N64 DD, which we talked about in episode 109 for Japan Pro Golf.
Exactly.
And,
yeah.
And so, I mean, Nintendo has always been kind of on the forefront. Well, I'd say Sega probably more so, but Nintendo has always been really bold with trying very strange ideas. And so this is definitely one of them. I mean, you had to have so many pieces of the puzzle to make this actually work. And so, kudos to Nintendo for giving it a shot.
They had a good run. And in fact, we watched the little video where St. Giga gave a little send off to the system. And it was very sweet, actually. It was like, thank you, everyone, so much for your support over the years. Goodbye. And it felt very heartfelt, actually.
Yeah. So do you want to get into another track here?
Yeah, let's go into Download 3.
All right, that was Download 3 from the Nintendo Satellaview. And this is an excellent little Mario Kart wannabe track. I love it.
It sure is. They packed a lot of variety in a pretty short little package here. I mean, it's one of those things where, like, we talk about this so often, but why go through the trouble, right? But that's just how Nintendo rolls. They just always are going that extra mile.
And I think that's why they have been so successful, even with their strange, ventures into these just bizarre platforms, because they do it with so much like passion and care and really want to do something fun for the customers. And I think that's why everybody, including myself, has stuck with Nintendo since I can, since I was a kid, because just constantly putting out something enjoyable for everybody.
Yeah, and even though I don't really have many current Nintendo consoles myself, I've always kept up with what they've been up to just because they are, in their own way, an industry leader. They may not be the best graphics or hardware all the time, but people are always paying attention because they're doing something interesting pretty much all the time. So
exactly. So we haven't talked about the composers a lot here. Why don't you start us off?
Yeah, sure. Akito Nakatsuka, that is what we think is probably the main composer for the Satellaview music. He's worked at Nintendo since 1984, and in fact, if records are correct, still works there today. In 2020, going into 2021, he started off on Devil World back in 1984, worked on Ice Climbers, Zelda 2, and also worked on a number of smaller titles for the Satellaview. More recently, he's worked as a supervisor on Super Smash Bros. For the Wii U and 3DS. And again, while we're not sure 100%, he is most likely the lead composer on these, yes, of these three composers. Yeah,
right. And Yuichi Ozaki, a sound designer, sound programmer, and occasional composer, he started doing sound design for Nintendo in 1995 on the Satellaview, actually. And he also wrote music for the game Marvelous and did arrangements for the Satellaview Zelda 1 remake and Link's Awakening DX. Most recently worked on audio tech support for Metroid Samus's Return for the 3DS. And then the last one here is Naoto Ishida. Mostly a sound designer, however, did some compositions for F-Zero for the Super Nintendo. Two tracks, actually. One of those being Big Blue.
Woo!
So, yeah.
Love that track.
So, yeah. And also did some music for the GBA version of F-Zero, as well as some music for the Super Game Boy. So, really dig in those hardware music. It's pretty cool. Yeah. And then, you know, sometimes it's been a member of Nintendo, I want to say since 1988, I think I saw. And then eventually moved over to Sony much later on. So after this game, and did data management there. So nothing really sound related. But then left Sony to start his own audio communications technology company and continues to work in audio. So kind of made the loop back around, but not really in the composition side.
For sure. And, you know, if my life is any experience, when you get the music bug, just being around music is sort of a big part of your life, even if you don't write it anymore. So I could totally see wanting to get back and being involved with the technical aspects of things.
Yep. So let's move on to our next track. Why don't you tell us a little bit about this track, Gene? You were so insistent on putting it in for good reason.
I was. So we're not 100% sure on this one. It is music that was in a horse racing Satellaview game, but the composition credits make it pretty clear that it was written by these three guys. So it was either intended for the Satellaview for downloaded games or some shared libraries. We're not 100% sure, but this is Breeding Charts from, I don't remember the name of the actual horse racing game, but we're going to listen to it and just forget what the title is because it doesn't matter.
It's like Satespu DX4 or something like that, right?
Exactly. So this is Breeding Charts.
That was Breeding Charts from Satespu DX4. The name in SNES music is actually wrong. I saw the title screen right now and can just tell that they wrote it out incorrectly. So, yeah, cool track.
Aren't you glad I pulled your arm on this one, Brian?
Well, I mean, I like this track. It's a hard sell because this is a download game and we're really focusing on just the Satella view here. But we talked about the music in the BS cart used for download games only. It was kind of like this walled off section of audio that these, you know, games could take advantage of if they wanted some really easy stuff thrown into their games. And we listened to some of the other stuff. And it actually, like, I think it was Race Table or one of the other tracks in this soundtrack. And they're basically just the Satellaview music. So.
Exactly. Yeah, there's a few shared tracks. And it's definitely the same composition style. And a lot of those things seem like it's probably the entirely same crew.
Yeah, exactly. But a cool track. I mean, it's super smooth. Fun to listen to. Yeah.
For sure. And, you know, I wanted to bring this up before we kind of close out the show. But one thing I think, if you're sort of a hardcore gamer, you've probably started to hear a little bit about the Satellaview. It's kind of become this interesting oddity in the preservation emulation community. And, you know, part of that is because it's this weird, like, broadcast only service. A lot of the stuff has been lost to time. So what we can recover from it is really just what people have been able to find on old cartridges. So we talked about how some of it was stored in temporary memory. There are a lot of these games that they're never going to be able to get again just because nobody has it on the cart. So it's right. This kind of interesting conundrum where it's like, we can do the best we can. And in fact, some of the hackers have done a good job of restoring some of these episodic games. So if you're really curious, you can play the Legend of Zelda Ancient Stone tablets. I think when they initially got it, it was basically unplayable just because it was so synchronized to the thing. And that's just this kind of ongoing problem with digital preservation. And this is obviously a very early version of that, but this is something that's going to continue being a problem in the future.
Yeah. Well, I really hope that Nintendo's always been pretty good about archiving their stuff. And I hope that one day, you know, they have it in their hearts to release like their archive of, you know, just whatever they've preserved over the years, because, you know, Nintendo had to have had this recorded somewhere. You know, they wouldn't just throw it away. It doesn't seem like them, especially, you know, in the late 90s, you know, it just doesn't seem like, you know, but I know a lot has been lost, and we're very fortunate that, you know, people had these on RAM cartridges, because otherwise they would just be gone, you know? So we have been pretty lucky in that regard.
We're lucky to have what we do, which is a pretty small subset. I think there was something about like 230 games, and there's probably maybe 50 or 60 that have been restored. So, you know, yeah, we have what we have, but it's nice that we have it at least.
Yep. So today we covered the Nintendo Satellaview broadcast satellite system with music composed by Akito Nakatsuka, Naoto Ishida, and Yuichi Ozaki. Had a great time listening to this music, and I'm glad we broke it up into another episode, because we had a lot of cool stuff to play.
Definitely. The Satellaview is a bit of an oddity, but an interesting one nonetheless. And so if you want to know more on the show, check us out online at pixelatedaudio.com for show notes and the track list. We can also be found on Twitter at pixelatedaudio.
Yes. And if you like the show, please leave comments or feedback on the website. Give us a review on iTunes. And if you're new to our show, we got a lot of really cool laid-back music, like Airport CEO, episode 132. And there's episode 126, Kaze no Notam, which we did with Hammock. And then also episode 103, Dropsy, with Jay Tholen and Chris Schlarb. We got one track taking out the show here. It's kind of a jingle, but it's a lot of fun to listen to. What do we got?
So, if you were to try to log on to the Satellaview service today, you would be greeted with an error. Unfortunately, you can no longer continue. And we are going to end our show with the error screen music. I hope you've enjoyed our show. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you back shortly for the next episode.